Well, life on the farm, I kind of laid back. Ain't much an old country boy to me can't hack. Early to rise, early in the sack. I thank God I'm a country boy.
And I can take you for a ride on my big green tractor. My tractor sexy.
Goodbye, city life.
Thank God I'm a country boy. Woo-hoo!
Yes, that music tells you it is time for us to talk to our good friend Ryan Jenkins, the owner of Jenkins Farms up in Jay, Florida. Ryan, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning. How are y'all doing?
Oh, man, we're doing great. Happy Independence Day Eve, by the way.
You too.
Absolutely. So where are you at in your crops right now? What are you guys working on these days? I mean, you got, I think, and always you feel free to correct me if I'm wrong, but you got all your crops in, so now we're just, you know, you just sit back and smoke on your pipe and wait for everything to turn out okay, right?
Yeah, you pretty much take about a three-month-long vacation and then come back in the fall and harvest them. Yeah. Right now it's a whole lot of sweating, to tell you the truth. It's been rough these last two or three weeks, but actually things are looking good. I'm very pleased with where we are right now with our crops. We did have a dry spell, and then, of course, that was followed by a very wet spell, and now we're kind of getting in a more favorable pattern where we don't want too much of either one. You know, we don't want too much wet or too much dry. So with these afternoon thunderstorms coming like they are now, it's kind of falling into place for us. But there's a whole lot of we have to scout our crops. You know, you go to every field every week and just make sure there are no pests out there or unwanted weeds or anything like that or any kind of diseases. It's kind of like taking care of your kids at home. You have to check on them every day and make sure everybody's doing okay. And so there's a lot of that. That's time consuming when you're spread out over a big area, but things are looking good. We're currently, you know, this is the time of year where we do a lot of spraying, and still on the young crops, you know, we're applying our nitrogen. So it's still a busy time, but it's not quite as bad as it is in the spring and the fall.
When you do spraying, is that primarily from an airplane or from some other kind of device?
Most in our area, you know, probably 90% of it is with, we call them ground rigs, you know, machinery that's specifically built for spraying. That's all it does. It's just a sprayer. That's all it can do is spray. And that's how we apply most of our crop protection products during the summer.
Do you ever get people, because I had read some stories not that long ago about, you know, people in some areas where they have built it right up against the farmland, right, which is a problem, you know, not conserving that space around the farmland, not buffering it really. But the idea about, you know, people complaining about the crop dusting because they don't know what it is and they're scared or whatever. Do you guys ever get anybody like that complain about the ground-based crop dusting or spraying that you do?
Oh, yeah. That's a problem. You know, we've talked before about losing our farmland to people moving out to the country from the city. But so part of the problem is losing the land, and then part of the other problem is people that are moving in not being ag friendly or not understanding what we do. And, you know, most of the time, if we can get to them and talk to them, we can help them better understand what we're doing. You know, when you see this big machine out there spraying, we've talked about this before on the show, spraying crop protection products across the field, very, 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 very minute amount of that per acre is actually a true chemical, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
99% of it is water. It's just the carrier. I mean, the active ingredient of that product that we're putting out might only be, you know, a few cc's, a few milliliters, you know, about like taking NyQuil, the little cup that comes with NyQuil, taking that and spreading it out over an entire acre. Only that much is an active ingredient. So it's not what it appears. We just have to have a carrier to be able to spread it out enough to be able to apply it to our crops and get good coverage. And that's where the water comes in.
I know you're more diplomatic than I would be, because I'd be like, but you like to eat though, right?
You know. Oh, well, that's what I'm thinking the whole time. I'm like, it looks like you hadn't missed a meal in quite a while. But I don't say it, you know, but I'm thinking it. I just, you know.
Yeah. Those pants sure do fit. Those pants, they might be a little tight, but I see you wear them, the ones made of cotton that I grew. I see, okay.
Exactly. That's how I feel about it. That's what I'm thinking the whole time.
That's so funny. You know, one of the things I was going to ask you about is, you know, prices this year. I know last year, when you say that, you know, the crops seem to be coming in well, I know one of the questions we had talked about in the past, you know, like the cotton needs so many of the heat units in order to get there, to which your heat dome might actually be useful as long as it doesn't kill them with lack of water, but that seems to not be a problem. But last year, I remember doing a lot of talk with you about where prices were, and you were kicking yourself because cotton had gone up and then it fell off and you didn't, you know, buy right at the high time or whatever. How do the prices seem to be looking at this point in the year for cotton and peanuts?
Peanuts are pretty good. The prices for them are pretty good. Therefore, we can turn a profit this year, you know, if we have an average crop. Cotton, on the other hand, the prices are low. We're about, we're probably about 20 cents, 15 to 20 cents a pound under where we need to be to feel comfortable.
Okay.
For this year. So it's not, cotton's not looking good, and the cotton crop looks good for the time that it is right now, but the price for that commodity does not look good. So, well, I'm very concerned about the cotton.
Ryan, I got an odd question for you, because we joke about, you know, you just take 3 months off and wait for the crops to come in. Obviously, you're working a ton. I was just curious, I guess it's because I'm happen to be reading this part of the Bible right now, but do you guys work 7 days? Do you work 6 days? Do you, you know, I just don't know what the habit is for farmers, and, you know, I just have no idea, so I'm just kind of curious. At 5 days, you know, what is the work week like for you?
Well, during the spring and during the fall, during planting season and during harvest season, we pretty much have to work as much as we can. You know, I definitely don't like to work on Sundays. But we do. I figure if our crops are there to be harvested and God's given us a pretty day to do it, and maybe it's going to rain later in the week or whatever, we'll work on Sunday. But for the most part, we're 5 or 6 days a week pretty much year round.
Okay.
Except during the winter. During the winter, we'd be 5 days a week. But this time of the year, you know, depending on weather and what's coming or what has come, you know, maybe it's rained all week and now it's pretty and you have to work on the weekend. You have to work on the weekend. But 5 to 6 days on average, 7 days in the spring and fall.
So
some early, stay late.
So kind of the, I don't know, just the follow-up to that, I guess, is, so when you go to like a rural church that's primarily populated by farmers, is it one of those like, you know, hey, look, we're really full in January, not so full in in September and October. Is that right? Like, oh, it's a good crop. You know, it's raining. Everybody's here. It's not raining. Everybody's out there. Is that true?
Yeah, you'll notice that, you know, sometimes during crunch time, the farmers are missing from church. You'll definitely
that's what I was wondering.
That.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting.
Yeah. Yep. Well,
We are up on the 4th of July, obviously, and you're a peanut farmer. So do you have any recommendations for if people want to, you know, do their own boiled peanuts today?
I do. We talk about this a lot. I try to take boiled peanuts everywhere we go. We always, from the Blue Angels, we always take the boat out and end up with a lot of friends because I always take a boatload of boiled peanuts. But it's a tradition of ours for July 4th and for Blue Angels weekend, you know, that we always have boiled peanuts. So I would suggest, if you want the perfect July 4th celebration, or if you want the perfect day at the Blue Angels, you go buy some green peanuts. They're in season now. Green peanuts mean they're a little bit immature. They're fresh out of the ground. They haven't been dried or anything like that. And you boil those. You go to a place that sells green peanuts, and there are places in all the surrounding counties. Get you some, go put them in a big cooker, like I do mine outside on a propane cooker, like if you were frying a turkey or having a shrimp boil or something like that, a big pot like that. Fill it up with water, get you a couple of cups full of rock salt, ice cream salt, put that in there, put your peanuts in, boil them, after about an hour, hour and a half of boiling them, start sampling them. And at that time, you're just checking for the texture of the peanut. You're seeing if it's too crunchy or too soft, or you're trying to get the texture like you want it. The salty flavor will not be right yet.
Okay.
You're just doing for texture. And once you get the texture like you want it, turn the heat off, and then you let them continue soaking in that salt water. And you're testing them all along, right? This is a process. This is a fun time while you're doing other things. But you keep testing them. And then when the right saltiness, when you get the right saltiness, you pour the water off of them. And don't pour the water in your yard because it'll kill wherever it hits because of the salt water. But anyway, that's how you get the perfect boiled peanut. And if you're the person that likes the Cajun peanuts, put a couple of boxes of crab boil in there while you're boiling them. In the same way, you just keep tasting for flavor once you get the texture part right.
All right.
When they get as hot or as salty as you want them, pour the water off and you're done. Enjoy.
So it's cook them to get the right texture, and then soak them to get the right flavor.
That's it.
All right. That sounds.
It'll never happen at the same time. The texture and the flavor.
Right.
That's where people mess up.
Well, that's the calculus, though. All right. Very good. We always like to end with a farm fact. Do you have one for today?
I do. We've done this before on the show. On the major holidays, American Farm Bureau has a standard, whatever that holiday meal is, that they check every year. They've done it for years and years, and they just kind of see how the grocery prices are. And I would love to know, I'm going to ask them one day where they shop at, because they have the cheapest prices of anybody I've ever seen in my life. But they say this year for a typical July 4th holiday meal to feed 10 people, that the price would be $67.73. The important part of that is, you know, it's a standard thing. It's the same meal they do every year. So last year it was about $2 higher. So we're down about $2 this year for the cost of that meal. But the part that I want everybody to understand is, you know, as they see grocery store prices fluctuate, they need to understand out of that $67.73, only a little over $9 of that is what goes to the farmer. So about 14%. Of what they get at the grocery store is what goes to the farmer. So it's when they see the prices going up and down, they think the farmers are sitting there getting rich. That's just not the case.
And out of that $9, that's not pocket money for you. That $9 then gets spent to cover your loans and your equipment and your gas and your employees and your seed and your spray, right?
Absolutely. Yes, correct.
So,
yeah, it's just a drop in the bucket.
So out of the small cut, your actual profit, if there is one, really minor. Ryan Jenkins, he is our owner of Jenkins Farms up in Jay, Florida, joins us once a month on the first Monday of the month to talk about the farm this year. Ryan, as always, man, thank you for what you do. Thanks for educating us. We still continue to get so much positive feedback on the segments that we do with you. So thanks for being such a great voice for farmers in general. And thanks for feeding and clothing my kids, man. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having us. I hope everybody has a great 4th of July and a great Blue Angels week.